I'm not a marijuana guy.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
They're so nice, they picked me as their spokesman, because I'm nice.
So long, you fetus-faced windbag.
Hey. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. You can give us a call at 877-365-3636. Very excited to have this gentleman back on the show. It's been a little while.
Oh, the best.
Some things have changed since the last time we chatted. And tonight, I believe it is in Bethesda. That's right, the Music Center at Strathmore in Bethesda. A celebration of reading. And when's that start, Jim? What time is everybody going to be out there?
You know, that is tomorrow, Mike.
Tomorrow.
That is tomorrow. We're going to celebrate the great joy of reading.
Where are you right now, Nancy? Where are you?
I'm in the Georgetown area, but we do have a book signing tonight.
Okay, that's
We have a book signing over at the Borders in off of Rockville over there.
Rockville, that's
in,
right.
In Kensington, 7 o'clock. Come on over, man. I'm telling you, we're going to have some fun.
Jim Enjoy. Nance, God bless you. Thank you for coming back on the show.
Hey, Mike, it's good to talk to you, pal.
A lot has changed.
I know.
Since
I
the last time,
I
know you wanted
friend.
To. Yeah, you wanted to come by and be like one of the last guests on the old show.
I wanted
show
to be not like one. I wanted to be the one.
Right? You wanted to be the guy.
Ironically, the guy. He was.
Yes, he was the last guest. Jim, you were the last interview.
Are you serious?
That's true. You got your wish, actually.
No.
Yeah, it's true.
What happened?
Well,
I was such a poor guest.
Jim.
It shut it down.
We didn't want to tell you that, but it went so poorly that's exactly what happened. Don couldn't go on any longer after speaking with you. No, I mean, I really think of, talking about the old show as far as guests on the other show. I don't think Don enjoyed having anybody on the air more than you.
No, I mean, agree.
And I think what it was opposites attract, and I really think that you two guys would get together. You know, you've got legitimate broadcasting on one side, and then you've got what we do on the other side.
I was going to say, which side am I on?
Yeah,
there, right?
No, you know what side you're on. My God, you hobnob with presidents. I was looking through your book. I didn't read it entirely because I'm a disc jockey. I'm not supposed to. So,
well, you know, maybe you'll get around to it. But
you know, I read enough of it though, and I to be serious for a second here, Jim, because I think the book probably speaks to me more than anybody else on the show. Having lost a dad while we're in this crazy broadcast business, and you know, having that long distance thing where I think I racked up more miles on U.S. air than anybody else, just going back and forth. And it really is. It's one thing to lose a parent; it's another thing to lose a father. But to do that when, unfortunately, the time constraints of this business and the fact that, we don't work in a business where you can be late, where you can say, hey, I think right. I might not be able to show up that day. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it really doesn't work that way.
Show
and
on.
You know, perhaps it should work that way, but it really doesn't. And we're held to a little bit, even at the very lower level, as we are here, one step above circus clowns.
Right.
But when you're talking about network sports casting, it's a different story. And that part of the book actually did speak to me, Jim, because it was very tough. And it was, I know it had to be very difficult. I was going to ask you as far as when you're not able to be there and so many, so many people, are pinch hitting for you, as you mentioned, the fact is you have a little bit of that guilt, but obviously even with the long distance relationship, you had a good relationship with your father and you were able to continue that no matter what part of the country you were in.
Well, in a way, I was fortunate. My father's still, by the way, clinging to life as we speak down in Houston. He's 13 years down the road with this horrible, insidious disease known as Alzheimer's.
Yeah, and I didn't mean to say that he's passed.
No,
he's still with us.
I catch myself all the time, too, Mike.
Right.
You know, like I still catch myself all the time talking about him in the past tense.
It's gotta be tough.
He's still alive, and I beat myself up with it later, but he really is just a shell of his former self, and he's just shut out from the world. He's not my father in so many ways. Yes, he is, but he's not. It's a struggle that is ongoing, as you can no doubt hear it in my voice. But being in the network business and covering events, I did have the mobility to be, I'm on the road every week somewhere.
Right.
So it enabled me, anytime I was traveling west, or even if I was just traveling, halfway across the country,
right,
I've always routed myself through Houston, gone either a day early or stayed a day late and gone through at least once a month to make sure my mother's doing okay.
Right.
Because the caregivers in this are the ones that really suffer just as much or more.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And to sit with my dad, sit by his side, tell him all the exciting things that I've been able to do, and tell him the people I've met and talked to, tell him about, you know, all the things that I was engaged in conversation with Don and Mike. And
sure that was the number one topic of conversation.
You know, I told him everything.
Yeah.
And I still do. I still sit there. And he doesn't appear to have any recognition of anything.
Right.
It doesn't like smile or even blink. It doesn't even open his eyes now. And hooked up to oxygen, the whole thing. But listen, the book is called Always by My Side because my father is figuratively going to be always by my side.
Yep. I love reading the part about when you were growing up and how you would tape record the sportscasts and you would, off the television.
Right.
And I really think, at least I know I did, weird stuff like that.
Everybody, I think we all did.
Everybody in this business has one of those little things where you perform on your own.
Right.
And you do that. And, because we're all basically nerds. I mean, that's the
right.
way it works.
But we all were obsessed and driven to be in this business. And that's what set us apart, because for every one of us who are on the air, there are, more than 1,000 people who'd love to have that job.
I'd give you the obsession award, though, Jim. I was obsessed with finding out every detail and every scoring play. By the time I got to school on Monday morning, it was a point of personal pride that I could summarize every game from memory.
Wow.
That is pretty good stuff.
Yeah.
And that now you still, I mean, my God, that's what you do for a living now.
Mm-hmm. You know, I hopefully have broadened it out a little bit now because, my memory's always been sharp, but I realized as I matured, because I was 11 years old, I identified what I wanted to do with my life. That was, I wanted to work for CBS.
Right.
My father said, wait a minute.
Me too.
Yeah, me too.
Why? Because CBS broadcast the Masters Tournament. And
right.
I'd watch that event every year sitting next to my father, and I was just mesmerized by the voices, the stories they would tell, just the feel of the event. And my father made it seem perfectly attainable. Son, you want to do it. You can do it. So, that did start the obsession. And then the more I listened to these voices, the more I realized that their knowledge was so much broader than just the minutia, the scoring plays and that kind of thing, that for whatever reason I can still retain it. But right. What I'm really wanting to find is the heartbeat of a story.
The story.
The stories that bring a broadcast to life that help us to understand who these people are that we're watching.
Well, you can do
why
that.
We should root for them.
You can do that after when you do the groundwork. I mean, when you do the legwork, and because
right.
you, I mean, anyone when we're talking about football in the fall, and you're just rattling off the statistics better than anybody that I've ever heard. You can take that knowledge that you have, and then you can branch off into the other area. But it's hard to do that unless you have the background and you have the statistics and you have all the, the storylines really committed to memory.
Yeah.
And then you can go off and you can do the good stuff like you do at the Masters. And nobody does it better, Jim.
Thank you, my man. I really feel like what I do in terms of the preparation, the stuff that you talked about, the things that lead up to a broadcast, it's all about relationships. It's trust. And the subjects I'm covering, now I have 23 years at the network. I think most of them, have an idea of where I'm going to go with this information that they're going to trust me with. Hopefully, they realize I'm going to treat it carefully, and I know it's important to them, and I'm not going to mangle it, I'm not going to misreport it, and I'm not going to make light of it. I'm going to treat it with dignity and integrity, and a lot of it's just floating around in my head.
Jim, I want to ask you. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I want to ask you about golf. Len Shapiro on the Washington Post wrote an article about the PGA and kind of the lack of star power on the PGA right now, and I've said this for quite some time. I mean, when you've got a Masters golf tournament, the tournament itself is the story, so it really doesn't play into it that much. But watching the championship over the weekend, finally we had a little playoff action. There was a little personality, but it seems to me that over the years, I mean, you look back in the old days when we had the Fuzzy Zellers, you go back far enough, you had the Lee Trevinos, and it seems a lot of these guys are almost like robotic in the way they're coming onto the PGA Tour. And I would imagine as a broadcaster, when you're doing, the average tournament, when it's not a Masters, Do you notice that? Do you hear about that on the PGA
Tour?
Well,
let me
because
just say
this.
I'll take the last 4 weeks, okay? And I'm not going to ever disagree with Lenny Shapiro on anything because the guy is great. And I have as high regard for Lenny as anybody out there. There's no one I respect more.
Right.
But I'll just take the last 4 weeks. Since we won't even include Trevor Immelman, who won the Masters. The next week, a guy named Boo Weekly won at Hilton Head. Now, I don't know if you've caught his action, but he's
a good old boy.
Heck that,
right.
You know, was raised in a trailer park home and lives in a trailer home down in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's got a huge personality. The next week, Adam Scott won, who has a huge game. He's got the cover boy looks, if you will.
Yep.
You know, he's the heartthrob of the tour. Does not have a big personality, but he's got the glamour factor. Then 2 weeks ago, a kid named Anthony Kim won in Charlotte, ran away from a very distinguished field. He's 10 years Tigers junior and has a lot of intensity, plays with a lot of fire. He's going to be a great player. And you're going to see with him, as we get to know Anthony Kim more and more.
Jim, when I say star power, probably that's not the right way to phrase it.
Well, look at Sergio yesterday. The building up to Sergio's got huge upside potential in that. He finally won the biggest tournament of his career.
I guess when I say star power, I'm looking for the personality power.
Sergio's got that.
He does seem to have that, and they were doing the ole ole yesterday. Mm-hmm. At Sawgrass, that's a fantastic golf hole, number 17. I love watching that. I just wish there was... You know, let me give you an example. You go back and you had Lee Trevino, who would be head-to-head with Jack. And Lee would try to get into Jack's head a little bit. And that used to be kind of a byplay. These guys, and I guess there's so much more money on the line now. Don't you know, these guys
I'm sure that's part of it, by the way.
There's much more control out there, is what I'm saying. And not that I want these guys to, you know, be dropping their pants and jumping into the lake, but...
Although...
Oh, boy, it wouldn't hurt. It would not hurt a little bit.
I actually think it's an exciting time for the game, you know, this year.
Okay, all right, I'm not trying to slam it.
We've crossed the threshold this year. Maybe a lot of people haven't acknowledged it, but they're going to start writing about it. All of last year, there were seven players who won who were in their 20s.
Right.
We're one-third of the way through this year. We now, after yesterday, have had nine players in their 20s, including, you know, real young stud golfers like Sergio and Adam Scott.
But, Jim, you know what gets onto the front page? A guy wins. How about this? A guy wins in his 60s.
This is the first time that the younger generation, I mean younger, the guys that are younger than Tiger, have finally gotten enough confidence. I think they're feeding off one another, too. This is the first time now guys beneath Tiger in age have finally stood up and said, we're ready to challenge.
Have you played that hole at Sawgrass? Have you played
never
that?
Never played it. Never played it.
I TV does not... It doesn't do it
it's
justice.
A tiny sliver of land. You know, people don't understand it. TV even makes that green look like it's a much bigger landing area than it is.
That's exactly
you
what it is.
You should explain for those who don't.
It's the island green.
It's one of the most famous holes in golf. And
an
it's usually
shot.
It always seems like it's between anywhere between a wedge and an 8-iron. And these guys are just having – and yesterday was 40-mile-per-hour winds. It was was incredible. I hope the AT&T is that exciting, Jim Nance.
Well, are you going to come out and watch it up here on the 4th of July weekend? Tiger will be back playing, of course, by then.
Unfortunately, I'm going to be on holiday at that particular time, Jim. But I'll be watching you on telly.
Are you sure we're not working 4th of July?
It depends on how things go, Rob. It really does. Now I want to talk a little football with you, Mr. Nance, because I know you're always thinking about football. What did you think of the draft? Who did well? Who did not do well?
I thought the Raiders did great.
Yeah, a lot of people have said that.
I think they got this kid McFadden out of Arkansas. And I like where they're going now. You know, if Al Davis can just leave everybody alone out there, you got Jamarcus Russell going into his second year at quarterback, McFadden at running back. That's about as much firepower and youth that you could find. And, you know, I'd like to see the Raiders healthy again, meaning that they're playing well and, you know, they're good for our AFC package. Obviously, Bill Parcells comes down to Miami and he builds in the trenches. You know, he goes with a lineman, basically, with the first pick with Jake Long and the picks to follow. And, you know, he'll find a way to get Miami turned in that situation around real quickly. Plus, he got a quarterback, the guy Chad Henne out of Michigan, that I've heard from some of his friends. This is a guy he had earmarked as a guy that he thought could be the best of all the quarterbacks in the draft.
You know, I'm listening to people around D.C. People aren't exactly doing cartwheels about Jim Zorn, but I was wondering what your thoughts on Jim Zorn being heading up the Redskins. How you think he's going to do?
Well, the pick you know, as coach, it surprised me that that doesn't mean that he's not going to be a great coach. I mean, I've always heard wonderful things about, you know, Coach Zorn as, you know, serving on all these staffs and what he's done. It just, it came out of left field a little bit, but that means nothing. I mean, I always had such regard for him as a player, you know, what he did out there with that expansion team and found ways to win and be competitive in a hurry and beat teams with physically and mentally. And I think it's an exciting time. I'm fired up about him being down here with Washington.
You think this? It seems that occasionally this whole story keeps growing hair with the Patriots and the taping. Is that, you know, is that dead and buried now or what?
That's tune out material.
Right.
To me, I'm numb to it now. It's like the next guy that's going to talk about steroids or HGH or the big fat contract. That's why in my book I didn't get any of that stuff. I'm so sick of all that because to me it's not sports. You know, it's that stuff it's stuff that has to be covered, yes. But after a while, the sports fan says, you know, wait a minute, I want to get back to the game.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I agree with you. And it seems like there's way too much of it right now in every sports. In every sport, the book is called "Always by My Side: A Father's Grace."
There's a story in there, by the way, that you'll appreciate. And there's a lot because, you know, we've talked through the years about my association with former President Bush, who wrote my foreword.
Yes, right. You're a good Republican, Jim. We've always known that about you.
No, I didn't say that.
Not political. Matter of fact, I know it's not a political book. I looked at it.
It's not political.
And you know what?
Jim,
there are two names that aren't in there also. And I looked, and they didn't even have an index in the back. I was looking for. I went right to the first thing I do with a book like this is I go to the back to see if there's an index. And I said, where's the index? Because I wanted to see Donna Mike anywhere,
you know,
in there. You know?
I'll tell you what a centrist I am, okay?
Okay,
when President Bush and President Clinton were working on tsunami relief for horrible tragedies over there in Southeast Asia, they developed quite a friendship.
Yes.
And
yes,
I think I may have talked to you about this before.
Yes,
but
right.
They decided to get together socially, which would mark the first occasion in the history of our great country that two former presidents, one of whom defeated the other, would get together on a social call.
Mm-hmm.
So they were going to vacation together. And then it was decided they better have somebody along for the ride to make sure this thing never deviates into, like, world issues or politics.
Mm-hmm.
So who was the chosen intermediary to serve for
Jim Nance. Jim Nance, the man.
You can assign me to a Super Bowl, a Final Four of the Masters. That's all well and good.
You know,
there have been other guys to call all those events, but there's only been one American in the history of this country who has ever served as an intermediary between two presidents, and you're talking to him right
Jim,
now.
Jim, you know what?
Great American.
You look at this book, you read this book, all I see, this book screams to me, political career.
Absolutely.
Are you running?
Really,
I'm ready
run?
To run.
Yeah, I thought so.
Ready to serve.
As a centrist, and Jim, I know you got to run.
That is why Don has taken early retirement. He is out laying the groundwork right now.
Oh,
he's your advance man. We know he's your advance man.
I guarantee you, I'll have a role for him. He's my man.
Jim, you've been very generous, and I know you gave us more time than you gave everybody else today, but I got just a couple of quick questions before we let you
Let's go.
Okay, here we go. First of all, things that were not in the book that I could find.
Okay.
Have you ever grown a beard?
Never.
Okay. You have never grown a beard?
Can
ever.
You?
All right.
I've gone a couple days without shaving.
How old were you, and this wasn't in the book either, how old were you when you had your first beer?
Did you say beer?
Beer.
Would have been probably 19.
19, okay.
Legal back then.
Probably legal.
Definitely not in high school.
Yeah, not
never once in high school.
Good for you, Jim.
The next president of the United States,
that's
Jim Nance. And what is one, and this is a trite jive question, but we've known you for a long time, and I'm asking it anyway.
Yep.
What is one thing about Jim Nance that would amaze people, besides being on this show and enjoying it when he's on this show?
You know, I actually do think the answer is that I'm on this show. I get more feedback about being on with you, about, man, Donna Mike, I never knew you were like that. And, you know, the book is like this.
You know, it is.
This book is an insight into, because, you know, when I'm covering, it's interesting, I was talking the other day, you're going to laugh, to Rush Limbaugh.
Oh, my.
Oh.
Now, don't get mad at me, okay?
Oh,
now, listen,
Jesus.
He made an observation that when I call a game, I'm there to tell the story about you know, the subjects. It's not about me. You know, your audience has to know about you or you don't have an audience.
This is true.
Is about you.
It is.
My only chance I've ever had a chance in my life for it to be about me is when I've been on the, you know, the Don and Mike show or now the Mike O'Meara show.
Well, you know, as I look
I wrote this book.
And I look at the cover of this book and I'm looking at a man that just looks so satisfied with his own life.
Hopefully there's a little bit more to it than that. There's a longing there for someone to be on that greatest sports road trip of all time.
There
that's
it is.
The man right over my shoulder, my father. But
what I
the
saw
book
on
is
the
not
cover.
Maudlin. It is rollicking. I wanted to talk to you. I guess you're
rollicking.
Out of time. I want to talk to
you
about playing golf with Sean Connery. But
oh, I know you broke his leg one time.
I broke his leg. I played the invincible James.
You broke
Bond.
His leg.
I'm the only
and
guy
wait.
To ever draw blood from Bond.
And next time, and you know, we will talk more about just about you. The next time we'll talk about
yes.
Sean Connery.
Yes.
We'll talk about the fact that I had no idea you were offered a position on Good Morning America. I had no idea
right.
that you were, you know, they were going to groom you for all of it. You were going to be the network anchor.
It's
for,
a fascinating
for ABC.
Book, and it is rollicking.
I mean, you're a good guy, Jim Nance.
I wanted it to be rollicking. I wanted it to be poignant. I wanted it to be on your show. So I've accomplished all three.
All of those
and
things.
Now I want to come back before Father's Day.
Please okay, do. Please do.
And I'm going to announce what office I'm running for.
Very good,
yay.
Jim.
Excellent.
Jim, you are a good man. You know we love you.
And I want to see everybody tonight at Borders.
Tonight at Borders, and then tomorrow night you're at the Celebration of Breeding.
Tell them where this Borders is tonight.
Beth Ann, where is the Borders?
The Borders in Rockville.
You didn't give me a
Rockville.
Card.
In Rockville. I guess it's Kids.
You gave me this.
But it's at,
I know.
Yeah.
It's 11:30, 301.
Yes.
Rockville.
I mean,
Pike. Rockville tonight at 7.
Right. And next time you come, maybe at one point we're in a much nicer studio now over here in Fairfax, Virginia. Maybe we can get you to sit in with us in the studio at some point. We'd love to do that.
All you got to do is ask. I would have done it today. Celebration reading tomorrow at the Strathmore. Uh-huh. That's the Doro Bush Cook's big charity, great event.
Right. Wonderful.
The packed house, but I hope we have a packed house tonight at Borders. So.
Yeah, you will.
And
you
we will look for the rest of the summer on all the golf telecast. Jim Nance, you're a good guy, and we will talk to you before Father's Day.
Mike, to you and to Don, wherever you are out there listening, mm-hmm. call me and thank you for being always by my side.
Thanks, Jim. Nance. Bye, Jim. Take care.
Thanks, guys.
There he goes. Bye. That's Jim Nance, everybody.
The rollicking Jim Nance.
Sure is. Oh, my God. Jim Nance. He's the man.
He brings it every time, doesn't he?
You know, he's intense, isn't
so
he?
So this is all I get. This is how we prepare for guests on the show.
Give me that.
I get handed a clipping out of a newspaper.
Newspaper ad.
Because why
signing.
Write down a card and say, what? There's nothing about his border signing.
I didn't know about his border signing. I only knew about
did you
that
hear
one.
Also what he said? This
I heard
is just
him.
As you're being executive producer, you know what he said. What
did he say?
If you'd asked, I would have come in studio.
I asked a million times.
I don't think you did.
I have the publicist calling me going, he needs to go. He has another call. He has another interview.
It was
he
Jim.
Needs-
Jim wouldn't shut
I
up.
Know,
he,
I
you
listen.
Gave
he
me
loves
out at
being
29.
Here.
I know he
we
does.
We have a history. He could have come.
Apparently he doesn't know he has to be someplace
he
else.
He has to be at Borders tonight. He could have come in studio. He's
in
here.
Georgetown.
He's in Georgetown. He's in Georgetown.
The rain.
Send a
the
oh, for
the
rain. Oh my God.
He'll
Jesus
melt.
Jesus Christ.
He'll melt.
Why do you want this? Can't have it.
That's fine.
There you go. You can't have his little thing.
You know what?
You can't
that's the little
it.
Bush. It's the Bush thing she wanted to promote.
Beth Ann.
What?
You made Jim Nance stammer.
Mm-hmm.
I hope
how
that
did
felt
I make
good.
Him? He didn't know
because
was
he
room.
Wanted to know about the, he wanted to know what the address was for the book signing, and he went
I have no idea.
It's on Rockville.
I'll get it. I'll get your card.
It's a wonderful.
So
book.
Before the show,
we didn't
up.
Talk about. I mean, there's stuff in here about Good Morning America.
Mm-hmm.
He did like
his
slam
first, his first sexual experience.
His first sexual experience when he was a Colombian drug runner for a number of years.
You wouldn't believe it.
He was like right up there with Ollie North and during
right.
Iran-Contra. Mm-hmm. It was truly amazing.
He was the voice of Peabody on Bullwinkle. Did you
know
that?
He says nice things about a friend of mine, too, a guy that I got a chance to meet, Ken Venturi, who was the color guy for the golf telecast. Nicest guy in the world. And Jim was very close to him as well.
One thing I'll say, if you're a guy who enjoys the history of broadcasting, he has a lot of great insights on a lot of great broadcasters.
Yeah.
It's a neat book.
And several chapters when he talks about the fact that he committed his first murder, which is really scary, too.
Mike, it was manslaughter.
This is close to
we
a
do
Dan
a little
Mason prep, intro.
A little preparation when we have these
oh,
guests.
Come on.
Just a little bit.
Never can
like knowing where he's going to be. What do you mean, come on?
Maybe that.
You see how I'm
sign.
Limping through this show today
yes.
with this voice?
I'm sorry.
This is playing in pain today. At
I
least
know,
I could
always.
Say. Jim will be tonight at and I looked at it because I didn't realize it's tomorrow night that he's going to be there, you know? Pride, a little pride in what I do. Always by my side. A father's grace and a sports journey.
Unlike any other.
Thank you very much, Rob Spiewak.
Always by my side, Mike and Beth Ann.
We will come back with our second buzz, and we're going to do something else on the Mike O'Mara
sure.
Show.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.